14 grams a day for plants per household and legal edibles. Those are just some of the high points of draft cannabis legislation published yesterday, which New Zealanders will be able to vote on in next year's referendum. The proposed law would also ban the drug from public places, restrict it to people 20 years or older, and it would still be illegal to drive under the influence. The Green Party's drug reform spokesperson, Chloe Swarbrick, is in our Wellington studio. Morena.
Atamari.
What's the aim of this exercise?
The aim of the exercise is to first and foremost recognise that prohibition has demonstrably failed and has only served to increase harm in our communities.
So how are you going to limit the harm?
So we limit the harm through an evidence-based, health-based harm reduction approach. And this is through reducing access to young people, which you've just highlighted.
Do you seriously think that it will limit access for young people?
Yes, it will.
Why?
And on
how?
Well, it will do so by sending, people have asked me multiple times, what do you think the message that this is sending to young people, that we're legalising and regulating cannabis? Well, the message that we're sending to young people very clearly is that this is and can be a harmful substance and that you should not be using it unless you're over the age of 20 and
you
can make an informed decision.
You don't think they've got that message that it's harmful already by the fact that it's illegal?
Well, the fact that it's illegal hasn't stopped 80% of New Zealanders using it by the time that they're 21 years old.
And
many
so
of those
why
people while they're at high school.
Making it legal, limit the use of it.
Because legalisation enables regulation, which enables us to put in place meaningful conversations in education about harm reduction, about what the substance can actually do to you. Under a prohibition type model, we kind of put it into a black box and say we're not going to talk about it, much like we did actually with sex education when we came from an abstinence-based perspective 40 odd years ago. We need to be moving on when it comes to cannabis. We've shown that cannabis prohibition hasn't worked, it's increased harm, and we often have an opportunity to fix that through controlling and reducing access to young people, education, and increasing support for intervention and problematic use, which you only get through imposition of a legal duty of care through the supply chain.
How did that amount, 14 grams a day, be arrived at?
It was through official advice, so that 14 grams a day, as was pointed out at the press conference yesterday by another journalist, is approximately, based on their Googling, a grapefruit or so.
It's quite a large amount.
Yeah, and the reason for that it was arrived on is that was what officials said a moderate user would use in approximately a week. So we have put in place here a limit on the amount that people can purchase, which is interestingly when you compare it to, for example, the substance it's most frequently compared to, that being alcohol, where presently obviously there isn't any current regulation cap on how much you can purchase.
And do you think there should be? Would you be pushing that?
Well, look, we're not having a conversation about
cannabis.
Alcohol right now.
Are you going to push the
boat? Well, personally, when you're talking about alcohol, this isn't present Green Party position, but when you're talking about alcohol, I think that we should be taking a harm reduction approach there as well. The kind of arguments that people are raising around, well, you can do this for alcohol, why can't you do it for cannabis? We've gone far too far with alcohol, and we do have to be looking at greater harm reduction there as well. So how this was actually put to me by one of the experts who we had over from Canada, who helped to establish their regulatory regime not too recently, is that we want to start with cannabis where it feels like we're beginning to end with tobacco, i.e. not open up this Pandora's box which enables massive corporations to get a foothold in. We need to start with intentionality around harm reduction, education, and fixing and righting the wrongs that prohibition has wrought on communities.
What's the measure that you are hoping to have to stop people driving under the influence?
Well, we know for a fact that this is presently already happening, and there is work underway, particularly from the Associate Minister of Transport, Julianne Genter, who has the delegation for road safety. And she's been public about some of the work that's underway there, but it's all currently in train, so we'll be released
publicly.
I mean,
that's quite crucial, isn't it?
It is really crucial.
Before we vote in the referendum, will we know whether people driving under the influence of cannabis can be policed?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we know for a fact that this is something which, if you look at places like Canada, hasn't increased the issues when it comes to people driving under the influence either. The problem that we've got, Kim, is that people are presently doing this right now. We just have no idea how many people are actually consuming this cannabis. We've got no way to track this behaviour. So if we want to have meaningful intervention, meaningful education about the harms that consuming cannabis can have, and particularly the other behaviours issues that you may engage with in society, whether it's driving or working or otherwise, how long you should wait after consuming, then we need to have a legally regulated market. Right now, it's happening, but it's all guesswork.
The restrictions in place in the legislation, 14 grams a day, 4 plants per household, who is going to police that?
So we know, again, that all of this stuff is going to be happening anyway. When it comes to the 14 grams a day, you manage to actually meaningfully have control on supply when you have a legally regulated market, because you have licences that go to those who provide supply. In the same way, for example, that we impose a duty of care on bartenders, they're not allowed to serve people who are intoxicated over limits.
Who's going to have a licence?
So licences, there's a huge amount of detail in the legislation, but it's going to be policed by the regulator, the regulating body, which we're establishing.
I mean, Paula Bennett says you haven't ruled out gangs. You haven't ruled out gangs having licences.
Well, we have ruled out those who are not fit and proper persons.
And what would be a fit and proper person?
Well, fit and proper persons will be discerned by the regulating body, but we intentionally have made it quite explicit here that we are not, first and foremost, going to be saying just because you have a prior cannabis conviction, you are ruled out from engaging in the market. And this is a really important point for the social justice aspect of it, right? Because Paula in particular has made the point time and again that a number of people use cannabis, you know, hundreds of thousands of New Zealanders on an annual basis, approximately 250,000 on a weekly basis, but a number of people don't go through the criminal justice system. But what we know is that in the last year, 4,000 New Zealanders got cannabis convictions. That doesn't mean that they were necessarily locked up in prison, but it does mean that they now have convictions that impede their potential and their opportunities in the future. Those convictions disproportionately fall on Māori. That is the inequity in our current prohibitionist model. So if we want to start to undo some of the harm that we have seen under this cannabis prohibition model and the criminalisation that has been disproportionately wrought on certain communities in our society, then we need to be looking at redressing that harm and not having a situation like we do in the States, where a different type of demographic is now profiting.
So if you have a conviction for cannabis,
it doesn't automatically rule you out.
Right, you can still get a licence to sell.
It doesn't automatically rule you out, but if you don't meet other standards or criteria around fit and proper person, then you may not be able to get that licence.
Anything else you want cleared up before it actually goes to the referendum?
In all seriousness, there are areas that are still vague, right? Yeah, absolutely. So I think that what I hope comes off the back of the 65-page document, which we released yesterday, which has been worked on over 2 years, has had substantial engagement from stakeholders, from iwi and hapū around the country, is that we get to have a meaningful, mature, respectful conversation about how we reduce harm in this country. I think it's really critical that people realise that first and foremost, we are recognising that all substances, whether they're alcohol or cannabis, can cause harm. If you accept that premise, the next question has to be, how do you reduce that harm? And the proposition herein is the best way to reduce that harm is through sensible, evidence-based regulation.
Thank you. Chloe Swarbrick, who's the Green Party's drug reform spokesperson.